Hello, you are listening to CITR Docs Season 3, Keep It Local, a collection of audio documentaries that explore current affairs topics in Vancouver and the Lower Mainland. These documentaries were made by producers at CITR 101.9 FM, the University of British Columbia's campus and community radio station, located on unceded Coast Salish Musqueam territory. This series was made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada. To hear more CITR Docs from this season or previous seasons, look up CITR Docs on Stitcher or iTunes, or visit citr.ca/docs.
From the barbecue meat fights in the 1970s to today's fight for social housing at 105 Kiefer, youth have always been resisting legislated and social discrimination in Vancouver's Chinatown. The Young and the Resistant by Rachel Lau follows the stories of past and present youth organizers Paul Yi, Ramona Marr, Yolanda Liu, and Amanda Wan. Though Chinatown has changed, there is one thing that connects these resistant youth across time. Take a listen.
Pongyangai, Chinatown. When I walk along Kiefer Street in Vancouver's Chinatown, there are bright red and yellow awnings, Chinese written on cheap poster paper from the dollar store, hanging in front of these storefronts. People greeting each other loudly in Cantonese, rows upon rows of Chinese herbs and dried goods like dried shrimp and dried mushrooms. I can still smell the pungent and familiar smell of those herb shops. It's just like I remember it as a kid. Growing up, my mom had a business on Kiefer Street in Chinatown, so I went there every day after school. We bought choy from the same grocers, I ate at the same bakery, said hello to the same neighboring shop owners. I didn't think anything would change. Some of those places and faces are still there. Thank goodness Maxim's Bakery is still there. But Chinatown is different now. It's a bit more quiet, there are fewer people, and some new faces. There are some fancy coffee shops, record stores, art galleries that weren't there before. And for those who have been following current events, you'll know this is because of the rapid gentrification happening in Chinatown. Longtime businesses are closing, more middle and upper class people are moving into the neighborhood, and Chinatown is becoming increasingly unaffordable. But it's not all hopeless. In this frenzy of development and the wave of coffee shops and luxury condos flooding into the neighborhood, there are people doing something about it. There's resistance. What you're hearing is a snippet from a rally against BD Living's 105 Kiefer Street project. Youth and seniors gathered at the Chinatown Memorial Square leading up to the public hearings at City Hall in May of 2017. And as most know, City Council rejected the application after these public hearings in May. This rally was organized by the Chinatown Concern Group, which is an intergenerational advocacy group fighting for low-income housing in Vancouver's Chinatown.
Let's keep pushing Mayor and Council tomorrow to make sure we get 100% social housing at welfare rates at tomorrow's public hearing.
I'm Rachel Lau, a Canadian-born Chinese youth, CBC for short. And today, we're talking about youth resistance in Vancouver's Chinatown.
So I first came to Chinatown mostly to see what's going on and buy groceries. And because when I first came from Toronto, I didn't really have that same Chinese cultural connection that I did there. I really wanted to come to Chinatown to really connect with Chinese communities here. And it's through that where I learned about all the anti-gentrification work and the resistance that elders and youth are really making happen right now, and all the different issues that are happening. And because of that, I started getting involved and meeting elders in Chinatown and meeting different activists in Chinatown and being part of the many different groups of youth and elders there. And right now, I'm supporting Youth for Chinese Seniors, which is a program that works with both youth and seniors in Chinatown to solve some of these issues.
That's Yolanda Liu, a good friend of mine and the coordinator of Youth for Chinese Seniors. an organization that works to improve the lives of Chinese seniors by helping to meet their needs through interpretation and translation services. They also plan fun social events for seniors, too. Yolanda is one of the many young people working to build community in the neighborhood. When I first started interviewing youth organizers in Chinatown, like Yolanda, I was intrigued because I thought there was a resurgence of youth in the neighborhood in the past couple of years. But I quickly found out that wasn't the case.
I find that difficult to answer because of the youth involvement that has probably happened in Chinatown before this generation as well. So with people like Jim Wong-Chu, for example, who a lot of people might know as, he's done a lot of things, like community organizing, radio. He's pretty well known for his photography in Chinatown and the ways he interacts with the people in Chinatown through his photography. So it's hard for me to, I guess, see it as resurgence. Not that that's the wrong way to put it, obviously, but it's hard for me to understand that framework.
That was Amanda Wan, another good friend of mine. Amanda doesn't have a formal position as a youth organizer in Chinatown, but she's passionate about the changes happening in the neighborhood and supports organizers in the community through her personal relationships, something that's often overlooked. After I asked Amanda this question about youth resurgence in Chinatown, she helped me realize that youth have always been advocating and building community in the neighborhood. This led me down a path to search for youth organizing in Vancouver Chinatown's history. Amanda mentioned Jim Wong-Chu's involvement in radio, and when I learned a little bit more about him, that's when I came across Pendergai. Pendergai Radio was created back in the 1970s. It was the first English language radio program in Canada to talk about issues relating to the Chinese Canadian community. It broadcasted from Vancouver Co-op Radio and ran for about 4 years. If you've met me, you know that 90% of what I talk about is community radio in Chinatown. So I was itching to know more about the people involved with Pendergai. With the help of a friend, I connected with Ramona Marr and Paul Yi, who were both involved with Pendergai in their youth.
What drew me to Pendergai, or how I found it, was I went to a meeting in Chinatown because I was starting to write for Roy. I was thinking about a career in journalism.
That's Ramona Marr. The Roy she's talking about is Roy Ma, the editor of Chinatown News, North America's first English news magazine made for the Chinese community. And it's through Roy that Ramona became connected to Chinatown and eventually Pendergai Radio.
And I went to a meeting and I met Paul. And I think the meeting was about the Benevolent Association. At that time, there was a controversy. And I was going to write an article and I met Paul and I met Jim Wong-Chu. And people started to mutter about this radio program. And I'd never, ever heard of it. I don't even think I'd heard of Co-op Radio at that point. And so I went to one of their meetings and just, I loved it right away. And kind of found my calling because my first job was in radio anyway. But I think the motivating force and the passion that kept me in there was a bit of anger. So I had an incident in which I was taking some Chinese Canadians to a discotheque in Vancouver and discovered that they were charging Chinese Canadians more at the entry than non-Asians, and started a human rights case. And then we documented it as a radio documentary for Pendergai. And that just fired me up as to what radio could do, as an activist radio could do.
Youth have been organizing in Chinatown across generations, but the issues that we face are different. Ramona fought back against the incident of discrimination at the discotheque, and now in 2017, Yolanda and Amanda are resisting against gentrification. Chinatown is constantly evolving, and each generation of youth is always adapting. I talked to Canadian writer and Pendergai Collective member Paul Yi about these shifts, and this is what he had to say.
Well, I think part of it is that every generation, you know, makes its own history. Every generation seeks out its own kind of identity patterns in a way that is relevant to them. So I think the kind of quest at a very abstract level is this kind of, you know, what people call identity politics. It's like, who am I? What do I want to do? How can I contribute? How can I contribute to the broader society as well as my own community? You know, how do I make my Chinese heritage relevant to me in any way? Is it even possible? So those questions were relevant back in the 1970s, and I think they're relevant today. But the answers to those questions are very, very different, simply because the geographic landscape of Chinatown and the social landscape has changed so much.
So where is the future of Chinatown headed for our generation? There isn't a perfect answer, but Amanda offers us a starting point.
I think for a lot of youth, it has a lot to do, again, with building visions for the future and being able to see how visions for the future can be created and embodied through relationships to elders and seniors in Chinatown. Because a lot of people say the youth are our future, but in some sense, for us, the seniors and elders are our future. Like, you can kind of flip it around in that way. And so we look at each other and we see in each other the past and the future at the same time. And that's how, for some of us, we relate to one another. And so that brings up a lot of questions like, okay, what is not working here for you? And what kind of things do you want to do to change that?
Even though the context for youth in Chinatown has changed, there are some things that stay the same. Through talking to Amanda, Yolanda, Paul, and Ramona, I realized that they're all connected. Connected through their care for the community, their desire to understand themselves and their heritage, and their dreams of building a better Chinatown. That never goes away. Thank you to Amanda Wan, Yolanda Lowe, Ramona Marr, and Paul Yi for sharing your thoughts with me. Also a big thank you to Christy Fong and Hayne Wai for connecting me with the wonderful folks at Penrigai Radio. The music you heard today was produced by Lee Rosevere. You can find more of Lee's music on freemusicarchive.org/music/Lee_Rosevere. The sounds of Chinatown you heard were produced by Angela Ho and Justin Choi. If you want to hear more of Vancouver's Chinatown, check out the Chinatown Sound Mapping Project at chinatownsoundmap.com. I'm Rachel Lau. Thanks for listening. Thank you.